This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
If you have 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. May God have the blessings of the hearers and doers of his word. We want to focus in on verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought this morning, and this is my thought. This is what I think God has given me. What love did for me. Amen. What love? What did love do for you? Amen. Think about that. But when we talk from this text, we talk from 1 Peter. And Peter, we all know, was a pre-Pentecost Peter, he was a pretty hot-headed individual. Peter did not take, let me say it right, he didn't take no mess. It sound better that way. Peter didn't take no mess. Peter was, before Pentecost, Peter, he had been a fisherman, and he knew he wasn't right. You know, some of us, we think we all right. But when Jesus preached and he gave Peter a word, Peter said, you know, you need to get away from me because I know I ain't right. Amen. Now Peter would before Pentecost, we know that Peter would cut you. And we know that he would cuss you. Amen. But Peter did those things before the Holy Ghost. But after Pentecost, Peter no longer did he want to cut or curse. Peter wanted to be the preacher that God had called him to be when he met Jesus. He says, Jesus, right before his ascension, he tells Peter, he says, feed my sheep. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lamb. In other words, do what I called you to do if you love me. We got into a discussion sometime this week, and I spoke up and I said, you know, when people love somebody, they actually try to please them. And so when we fall in love with Christ, when we love him, then we start trying to do those things that please the person in who we love. So if we fall in love with Christ, we can't remain the same person we were. We have to have a change in our lives. And so when we have the change in our lives, we're changing to please him. So Peter could not continue cutting people's ear off. See, some of us are like that as Christians. People can't hear us because we got our sword out and we're ready to cut their ear off because they're trying to arrest or stop progress in what we think is progress in Christianity. But it may be the will of God. So we cut their ear off and they can't hear us. But then Christ came back and he put the ear back on and he healed. He said, Peter, put that up. put your knife up, put your sword up. But Peter had taken a sword. He took literally what Jesus said, what he said, man, you know, for them to take up their sword. Jesus was talking about the word of God. Peter took a sword from that day and carried it with him for a long time. He said, when it jump off, I got you, Jesus. But then we find that Peter, being so emotional, he left and he went and he warmed by this fire where there were some people say, you look like one of them. He said, no, uh-uh. And they say, yeah, you look like one. Matter of fact, you sound like one. And he started cussing to prove that he wasn't one, but they knew he was. And so this was Peter before Pentecost, but when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, when he realized that I want to please God, Peter preached one message, and 3,000 souls were saved in one day. Hallelujah. Now that's something. How many of us can say that we've reached three people in a lifetime? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can you reach three people in a lifetime? Peter reached 3,000 in one day. So we need to make it our quest to reach people. Whatever the cost, we need to reach people. But you can't reach them if you don't ever change. If you don't have a transformation, how can you call people to transform? If you don't have a change in you, how can you ask people to make a change in their life? Amen. But this same Peter, he says that I'm apostle in verse 1. He said, apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers which are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's telling them, he said, look, I'm writing to all of you that are strangers, those who have not been part of this Jewish sect of the Christians. I want to write to you now that you've been brought in. He says, to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. He begins to talk to them. And one thing I like about it, as we go down, Peter starts talking to them, and he says, in verse 6, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter begins to let them know, although you've been strangers and now that you're in this, he says that they are going to be manifold. There are going to be many temptations. In other words, you're going to experience evil all over the place. You're going to have to go through some stuff for a season. There's going to be seasons in your life where there may be heaviness that comes to you. But look at what he says in verse 7. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you want God to reward you, and he's going to say things well about you because you've been tried by your in your faith. Amen? And so then he tells us, he says, even though you've been tried, and he's gonna reward you. He's gonna give you praise for you being able to withstand the temptations and the trials that you go through. He said, but you know the reason why you do it, he says in verse 8, he said, because you love him. He said, whom you have not seen, you love. And whom though you have not seen him yet, believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even though you can't see him, you're saying that you love him. And even though you can't see him, you're standing. Even though your trials come, I see my trials. I see the people who come against me. I see the things that happen in my life, but I don't see him, but I do love him. And I know that I don't have to be ashamed because he's going to deliver me whenever it's time. He says at the end of this, he said, you receive your faith and the salvation of your souls. So Peter, he began to tell us that there are going to be some things that we go through, but because we love him, because we're holding on to love, we'll make it through. What else do we have to hold on to? Because everything you have, the devil is subject to try and take it. But he can't take your love for God. You have to give that away. He can't take your joy. You have to give that away. You know, we said the devil ain't going to steal my joy. How can he steal something that God has given us? Joy unspeakable. Okay. Verse 18. Now we're there. Verse 18, we're talking about what love did for me. This is what love did. He says in verse 18, first off, love made a payment for me. Love made a payment. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by your fathers, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He's showing and sharing with us here that God by his love made a payment because we were slaves to sin. We were slaves and we were in bondage, but we needed God to do something because there was no man that could do it. There was no animal that can do it. There was no money you can get to buy your freedom from sin. You could not buy your freedom from death, hell, or the grave. Come on and say amen. And so what God did is said, look, you can't buy this with gold. You can't buy it with silver. You can offer all the animals you want, but that's still not going to give the payment that is required for your soul to be free. And so what did love do for us? Love died for us. Look at this. He said, for as much as you got to understand, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. So why is it that we think, you know, and I'm going somewhere with this, because you watch TBN and you watch television or whatever. You don't have to be TBN, but they come on the Word Network and the church channel. But they come on there and they say, well, you need to give an atonement offering. Yeah. How is it that we can give an atonement offering for our souls? Yeah. If you do that, you're denying the fact that Jesus already paid the price. You're saying that my money is more precious than the blood of Jesus. And our money is nasty. Lord, help me here. Our money is no good. Amen. But we if we're taking money and we send as an atonement offering, this is my atonement offering. In other words, this pays the price for me. It cannot pay the price. If you think that your money can do it, guess what? You're still in sin. You're still lost and you still don't know. Amen. And so he's letting us know, and they were doing it then, and now they're doing it today, that they'll play the game with money. But the payment, the real payment, came from God. Amen. You could not pay for this yourself. You could not. If we could have, there were many more people more righteous than you and I. Amen. There were more people more righteous than Peter and Paul, because Paul said, I'm a wretched man and I'm the chief of sinners. There were more people that were more righteous than him. Amen. But what we find out is that our payment could not come through things that we heard of in the past, nor things that we hear today when we hear about people saying, well, I gave God this so that he can give me that. You can't trade with God. The only way you can trade with somebody is if you're on the same level. Amen. If I'm going to buy something from you, I need to come to you. I'm on the same level and say, hey, I want to buy that because I can afford it. But guess what? There's some things you can't afford. And if you can't afford it, I can't go to Donald Trump and say, let me buy a yacht. I can't buy it from him because I can't afford it. And since we can't afford it, we need to have somebody who can buy it for us. So we go to a banker and say, banker, could you give the money to him so I can have this? So what did God do? God became the banker for us. He says, you couldn't buy it, but I got something more precious, more valuable than silver, more valuable than gold. Come on and say amen. We need to know that life and, you know, blood spilled is precious anyway. If somebody died, we'll say, man, that was a shame. That was a senseless death. They did not have to shed that person's blood like that. It didn't have to. Eric Garner didn't have to die. Right? Trayvon Martin didn't have to die. We say those kind of things. We know how precious their blood is. But then there's a blood, he says here, that the precious, but with the precious blood of Christ. His blood was shed, and he said it was shed as the lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, he was not corrupted at all. He was clean enough that God accepted what he did through the death on the cross. Lord, help me. That's what love did. Now, somebody should have shouted right there. Love brought me back. Love redeemed me. Love set me free. Love made me free. Amen. I wanted to correct set. I wanted to be made. Because if you set free, Bible said the truth will what? No. It makes you free. Because if you're only set free, it's like a bird being in a cage and you open the cage and he don't know how to get out. But when you make him free, you reach in and you let him go. So what did God do for us? He reached in. Look at him. He reached in and he took you out of what you were in and he let you go free. That's what God did. He reached in. We can't say that God set me free, because then it's, some of it still relies on whether or not I do what's right. But God made me free. He brought me out of this. He bought me and brought me out of this situation. Amen. So now when I die, I don't have to die a second death. I have eternal life. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So look at love's payment. Love paid for me. Love did something for me I could not do for myself. And I should let him know how much I appreciate what he's done. But we don't always let him know. We complain about what he's done. Oh, my God. Look at this. Verse number 20. The second thing I want you to see that love did is love planned for me to come out of this. Love had a plan. Yeah. Amen. Look at what love did. He says in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. He says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from up from the dead and gave glory to him, that your faith and hope might be in God. Look at the plan that love had for me. See, when you love, you plan stuff. When you love, you plan. So why do you think that when you was a kid that you planned how many children you were going to have and what kind of husband or what kind of wife? Oh, am I the only one did that? You plan the kind of house and the car and your job. You plan this stuff based off the love that you're going to have for your family. That's what love does. So love plans. And so God had a plan for us because he what? Loves us. God has a plan for each and every one of us. But look at what he did here. He says that he foreordained from the foundation of the world. Basically, he's saying that before the world, the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. The plan for Jesus had already been made. Why? Because God so loved the world. God loved us. Why did he love the world? Because we were in it. He could destroy this earth, but he loved us. And since he loves us, he allowed us to stay, and he gave ransom for us. Amen? He made a plan. And look at this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that's all of us. All have what? Sinned and fallen what? Short of the glory. So what does it mean to sin and fall short of the glory? Some of us think that it means that, well, I just told a lie. That's part of it. But what it really means is that when you think about the glory of God, that means we were created in his image, in his glory. When we fail to be like God in any situation, then we miss the mark. All have sinned. Then we fall short. When we fail to be like God. So what is God like? God is love. When we fail to love, Lord have mercy. Then we miss the mark. When we insist on hating, when we insist on not forgiving, when we insist on being bitter, come on and say amen. When we insist on being ugly and mean and grouchy. Amen. We are missing the mark. We're not being all that we should be in him. We have fallen short. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall short. I want to reach the goal, because a plan is a goal. God's plan, his goal was for you to be like him, so that we would fill the earth with his glory. Amen. So how are we going to fill the earth with his glory when we are not reaching the glory? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He said he foreordained him. He said, but look at this. He said, but from the foundation of the world, but it was manifest in these last times for you. So he said it was already a plan of God for this to happen. But and so when we look at the whole setup that Satan did in the Garden of Eden, God knew that from the beginning. He knew what was going to happen. He already had a plan. So what we thought was God's plan B was his actual plan A. This is how I'm going to do this. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. And so God had a plan. So when he planned and he says, but the plan that God had was not only for him to come and die, but that we through him might believe. Amen. That we might have a connection to God. And he said that he raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. He said, I sent him. My plan was that you believe in him, and I sent him so that you would have hope and faith in me, that I'm able to give you forgiveness, that I'm able to redeem you, that I'm able to give you peace, that I'm able to give you joy, that I'm able to heal you, I'm able to deliver you, I'm able to set you free, I'm able to love you, I'm able to be there when nobody else is, I'm able. That our faith may be in who? God. Not in man. Not in whoever it is that you've been thinking that they should have did something. No. God is saying, don't put your faith in man. Put your faith and your trust in God. The very center verse of the Bible in Psalm 118, I believe it's verse 8 or 18, it says, don't put your hope in man. Don't trust in man, but put your trust in God. So the heart of the Bible even tells us that we ought to put our trust in God. Forget about what man will do and what they said that they'll do. Sometimes men will lie to you, and it is in their natural nature to be liars. Amen. It's in their flesh, and sometimes people have to catch themselves and they say, no, I'm lying. They'll tell you that, and they'll try to correct themselves, because naturally we will lie. But God never lies. The Bible says God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I wish I had somebody. Before God lie, he'll change the way the world turns, because he's God. Before God lie, if he tell you nighttime is day, he'll turn it around and make the night day. I wish I had somebody. If God said he'll do it, you better bank on it that God, if he said he can. And look, God doesn't have to say, I promise you. The mere fact that he can't lie is the promise to us. Amen. Because if he ever says anything, you better know that God is going to do exactly what he said. We can say, God, don't do it that way, do it this way. God say, I'm God, you're man, and I'll do it the way I please to do, because I'm sovereign. He's able. So he said, I want you to have faith in me. So I'm sending you hope. I'm sending you hope in the person of Jesus Christ. He sent us somebody that before we couldn't touch God. We couldn't see God. And so Jesus came to show us the face of God. He came to show us who God really was. We didn't understand God before Jesus, because we thought that he was just a judge, that he's hanging around the corner waiting on somebody to do something and say, oh, I got you now. I'm going to punish you. No, that's not God. He said, I already paid the price. I knew. You think you surprise God when you lie? You think you surprise God when you do something you ain't got no business? You think you surprise God when you cussing and acting a fool? You don't surprise God. He already know who you are. He already know how you are. Come on and say amen. And so guess what? We can't, if we get to a point to where we think that we're surprising God, then we're fooling ourselves, because God knows your moves. God knows how you think. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. God knows how long you're going to do what you do. Come on and say amen. And so if God knows all of that, we need to trust that he's able to give us deliverance from whatever it is that has us bound. Yes. Have hope and faith in him. That your hope and your faith might be in God. But we put it in religion. We don't put it in God. We put it in religion. Just our religious acts. If I do this 7 times in one day, if I do this 3 times, if I just go this many times to church, God will do something for me. You know what? God wants to do something for you anyway. Now, the reason why I'm here is not so that God can do something for me. It's because I love him. And do you want somebody to be with you because they do, you know, you do a lot for them, so they're here with you because you do a whole lot of stuff? If you got to be with me because of what I do, don't come. No. Don't be around me. But if you're around me because you love me, then I'm satisfied with that. And so how do you think God feel when all the time we want to talk to God, the only time we want to see and hear from God is that when we want him to do something? Oh, you can tell. And I ain't talking about nobody here. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. You can tell when somebody want God to do something. You ain't seen them in a long time. Oh, come on and say amen. And then all of a sudden, they come 2 times. And then if God don't do it, then you don't see them no more. Amen. That's somebody who don't really know God. But we need to teach them that that's not how God operates. God loves you anyway. And he look, and you don't have to come to church all the time just to meet God. Now, I want you to know you need to come to church, but God will meet you at your house. I wasn't in church when I got saved. I was saved before I got to the church. I confirmed my salvation when I got to the church because he had already dealt with me. Lord help me. What's being saved? Saved is when you believe, right? I started believing before I got in there. I stood up because I had to confirm that this is what I believe. Amen? Let's get back to it before y'all get too bored here. So what did love do for me? Love paid for me. Love planned for me. Love has power also. Look at this. Verse number 22 says, seeing you have purified. Now love purified me. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look at this now. He's saying, now you have purified your souls. Love did all of this for me. He gave me a word so that I could be clean. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you're clean by the words that I what? Speak. If Jesus speaks a word to us, that word cleans us up. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you how I know that this Jesus speaking. Because whenever we come to church, and I believe this with all my heart, whenever we come to church here and the word is preached, then I feel clean. Yeah. You feel clean? Yeah. And then I don't really want to fool with some people. Because I know they're going to dirty me up. Amen. Amen. So when that person calls, I want to hit ignore. Because I don't want to hear no mess because I'm clean. Oh, come on and say amen. You know, I want to do my Sunday thing. I ain't got time for that nonsense. Because I'm clean. I know Jesus spoke to me today. Oh, come on and say amen. You know, imagine if we heard him every day, then every day I'd stay clean. And since I can stay clean every day, then I won't be fooling with a whole bunch of people. But he says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So how do our souls get purified? You know, what needs saving? Your flesh can't be saved. Let me tell you, your flesh doomed. Ashes to ashes. Y'all got it. But your soul has to be saved. And so your soul needs to be purified, need to be what? Cleaned up. What's your soul? Your mind? Need to be clean because we got stinking thinking. Your will? Sometimes we want to do wrong stuff. Got to be cleaned up. And your emotions? Sometimes we get emotional and we get happy about stuff that ain't right. Oh, yeah. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Okay. All right. Y'all looking at me like I'm not telling the truth. Well, as soon as your enemies, something happened to your enemies, we just go pray for them. But you happy it happened because they needed to be taught a lesson. That's how you feel. Come on and say amen. But that's where we are. That's we get to that point that we you know, that in our soul, that's how we feel. But he said our soul is purified by obeying the truth. So when we begin to obey what we hear, the truth that makes us free, when we obey and when we hear the word of God, he said it makes our souls purified. And then he says, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. So guess what happens when my soul gets right, when my soul gets purified? Then I'm able to love people. I'm able, he said, through the Spirit, unfeigned love. In other words, God, this love provides an opportunity for us to be loved. This love provides an opportunity for us to be purified through obedience. Then he tells us that we ought to show the love that we've received. We ought to show love to other folks. So he says, unfeigned love. This word unfeigned really means, and I would tell you the Greek, but it wouldn't do you no good. He said it really means unfeigned love is genuine love, sincere love, love without hypocrisy. Come on and say amen.